From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a two-part message entitled, Secure in the Incomparable Love of God. The text is verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5. Having expounded the doctrine of justification, Paul now takes up the believer's security and assurance. Verse 5 speaks of the Holy Ghost having been shed abroad or poured into our hearts at the moment of our salvation. In verse 6, the apostle goes on to show that in giving Christ to die on the cross, God provided the greatest possible demonstration of His love toward sinners. Indeed, as Dr. Cairns has shown, the love of God is otherworldly. For as the verse proclaims, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. This is indeed the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The proof that no believer will ever suffer the wrath of God lies in the facts of Christ's resurrection and intercession. Christ's prayers can never be in vain. Paul goes on to say that we are saved by Christ's life. Here is the certainty of the believer's salvation. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember the poor. Why does God allow so many of His children to be poor? He could make them all rich if He pleased. He could lay bags of gold at their doors. He could send them a large annual income, or He could scatter round their houses abundance of provisions, as once He made the quails lie in heaps round the camp of Israel, and rained bread out of heaven to feed them. There is no necessity that they should be poor, except that He sees it to be best. The cattle upon a thousand hills are His. He could supply them. He could make the richest, the greatest, and the mightiest bring all their power and riches to the feet of His children, for the hearts of all men are in His control. But He does not choose to do so. He allows them to suffer want. He allows them to pine in penury and obscurity. Why is this? There are many reasons. One is, to give us, who are favored with enough, an opportunity of showing our love to Jesus. We show our love to Christ when we sing of Him and when we pray to Him. But if there were no sons of need in the world, we should lose the sweet privilege of evidencing our love by ministering in almsgiving to His poorer brethren. He has ordained that thus we should prove that our love stands not in word only, but in deed and in truth. If we truly love Christ, we shall care for those who are loved by Him. Those who are dear to Him will be dear to us. Let us then look upon it not as a duty, but as a privilege to relieve the poor of the Lord's flock, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Surely this assurance is sweet enough, and this motive strong enough, to lead us to help others with a willing hand and a loving heart, recollecting that all we do for His people is graciously accepted by Christ as done to Himself.
Oh, Father, sorrow, great be Thy name.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Christ didn't die and then sit back in luxury as if, well, there's nothing now for me to be interested in. He's interceding. He's appearing. He's advocating. And what is he advocating? He's advocating against all the opposition of hell. He's advocating according to the terms of the covenant of grace that every one of his people make it securely to heaven. He's advocating that the blood-washed are actually brought into glory. He's saying, as he prays in John 17, Father, I will that these that thou hast given me be with me. I must have them. I will have them. They must reach heaven, and they will reach heaven. He's active as our Savior. And he's living to ensure that all for whom he died will without fail enter into glory. That's what these verses 9 and 10 are all about. Verse 9, he died for us and purchased our justification. But he also rose again and lives as our Savior. His death could not be in vain, but neither can his resurrection life. Neither can his intercession. If you understand what Christ is doing at the right hand of God, you will see the security. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter, and then the words include all the disciples? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Now you just put your own name in there. For it wasn't only true of Simon. Satan has desired to have you. Oh, you're mine, given to me in the covenant of redemption. You're mine by divine appointment. You're mine by eternal election. You're mine by the precious blood of the cross. You're mine by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. It's not just that I'm praying for the whole church. It's not just that I'm praying for the great body of my elect. It's not just I'm saying, Lord, look at that great number of people that only God knows, and I'm praying for them as a block. Oh, that may be true. But in his infinite wisdom, the Lord Jesus says, by name, I have prayed for you. Your name is inscribed on the palms of my hands. As the hymn says, my name from the palms of his hands, eternity cannot erase. Bless God, his praying cannot be in vain. There is one mark about the intercession of Christ. It's as true in heaven as it was true on earth. He said to his Father, thou hearest me always. There is no such thing as an unanswered prayer of Jesus Christ. No such thing. Search your Bible. It's an impossibility. Thou hearest me always. That was on earth, and it's still true in glory. Thou hearest me always. There is an infallible certainty about the praying of Jesus Christ. And thank God, he who died for us lives for us. And if we were reconciled by his blood and justified by his blood, then we'll be saved from wrath through him, the living Christ. Verse 10, his death destroyed our enmity to God, and gave us peace with God. He reconciled us to God. But listen, if his death saved God's enemies, can his life fail to secure God's friends? If his blood brought us out of enmity into friendship and fellowship, can the living Christ, the Christ who lives at the right hand of God, our great high priest, our intercessor, our elder brother, our covenant head, our living, loving Lord, can his life fail to bring his friends in union with him to everlasting glory? The whole thing is impossible. Now that we're no longer enemies, but people who have been reconciled, he says, we shall be saved by or in his life. Now I want you to notice this great conclusion of it all. We shall be saved. You see, that's what the passage is all about. That's what the argument is all about. Paul has given us five individual statements. Each one of them in itself would be sufficient to establish the truth. Put them all together and it reaches this great crescendo. We shall be saved from wrath. We have been justified. Go back up to the beginning of the chapter. We have been introduced into the royal presence. And we now enjoy constant access to God. We have been given the indwelling Holy Spirit to witness of God's love for us. We have been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So we shall be saved from wrath. You see, the eternal future is secure. That's what Paul wants us to understand. And he wants us to understand it for a very good reason. Because it's as you understand your future that you will be able to live effectively for God in the present. Never forget that. Because this must have a present effect. The argument that, and this is an argument Paul will take up at the beginning of chapter 6, the argument against the security of believers is, oh, well, that leads to carelessness. It leads to coldness. It leads to indifference. Well, now I'm saved, I can shrug my shoulders and say, everything's fine, I can live whatever way I like. Absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Anybody who talks like that has never known what it is to have security or assurance. Anybody who wants to make the grace of God a cloak of maliciousness and a cover for his own vile sinfulness is still in his sins, and if he doesn't get converted and get saved, he will perish, and that's the only security he'll ever have, and it's a security for eternal hell. This is not an excuse for sin. No, when you understand this, and I would to God that I could preach this as it deserves to be preached. I have to confess, when I come to this passage, I groan within myself because I read things here that I don't have either the knowledge or the ability or the words or the passion or anything to express as it deserves to be expressed. But I read things here and I say, if only I could understand this, if only I could communicate this, if only there were some way that this could grip the mind of Christians, what it is that Paul is saying here, they would come to cry out with verse 11, and not only so. That's picking up at verse 3. And not only so. Notice how he's progressing. He says, we rejoice, verse 2, in the hope of the glory of God. But not only so. We rejoice or glory in tribulations also. But not only so, verse 11. We also joy in God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When you understand this, you'll rejoice. When this grips your heart, there will be something rising up within you to rejoice in God. Notice the difference in the tenses of the verbs. We shall be saved. Verse 10. We now rejoice. Verse 11. Can you do anything else but rejoice? If you have received the atonement. If you've received the reconciliation. If you've received the at-one-ment with God. We rejoice. There's the honor we give to Him. We come before the Lord and we give Him the glory. Salvation in all its parts is all of God. Salvation is all of grace. If we shall be saved, then to God be the glory. To Christ be the honor. There's a humility we feel. For we recognize we were without strength. We were not only without strength, we were without goodness. We were ungodly. We were stamped with that very thing that Paul mentioned at the beginning of the whole treatment in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, with that ungodliness against which the wrath of God has been revealed. We were without strength. We were without godliness. We were without merit. Truth to tell, we were even without desire to know anything about God or grace or anything else. For we didn't love Him. Here's a humility we feel. We're glorying in God. I have nothing wherein to glory, says Paul. I'm just a sinner. Vile, filthy, wretched, hell-deserving sinner. But I'm justified. I'm reconciled. I'm in friendship with God. I'm in fellowship with God. And I'm sealed so that I shall be saved from wrath. The honor is His. The humility is ours. But here is a holiness to which we aspire. When I understand what God has done for me in Christ, and understand the assurance and the security that He gives me in the Savior, then I must glorify Him. In a word, you know, that's the essence of a holy life. To be living in the joy of the Lord. You can't be living in sin. To be living in the joy of the Lord. You can't be living with one foot in the world. To be living in the joy of the Lord is to separate unto Him and to say, Lord, given what I was and where I was, given what I am and where I'm going, given the ground on which I'm saved, there's only one thing worth living for, and that is the glory of God. We glory, we rejoice, we triumphantly exult in our God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.